Sickle cell disease can cause excruciating pain, as well as life-threatening complications, multi-organ dysfunction, and premature death. But the integration of palliative care into the management of sickle cell disease has been inconsistent, and considerable challenges persist in improving quality of life and other outcomes in this population. I'm Stephen Morrissey, Managing Editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Eberechi Nwogu Onyemka, an Assistant Professor in the Division of Palliative Medicine at Washington University in St. Louis. Dr. Nwogu Onyempa has co-authored a prospective article about involving palliative care in the management of sickle cell disease. Dr. Nwogu Onyempa, broadly, what are the functions and goals of palliative care?
So palliative care is a relatively new specialty in medicine, and we are a group that works hand in hand with other specialties to try and improve the quality of life for individuals who are facing a life-threatening or life-limiting illness. So we tend to see palliative care as a holistic way of approach of caring for people with life-limiting illness. So we do everything from symptom management to improve your quality of life to having conversations with you across the lifespan about your expectations. We provide psychosocial support to patients and their family. We do a broad range of anything that's going to help the patient and the family as they navigate each stage of their life-limiting illness. Is the goal of palliative care, working hand in hand, like I said, with the other medical teams that are involved in the patient's care.
So why have these services not been regularly available to people with sickle cell disease?
So I think historically, sickle cell disease had been a pediatric disorder, where in the past, several decades ago, most patients with sickle cell disease didn't actually live past adulthood. So most of them lived up to the 30s, 20s, and they succumbed to the disease. And prior to most recently, care for sickle cell has been supportive care. So the hematologists or the sickle cell experts have really been the ones who have provided this, I guess, whole person approach to care for sickle cell disease. But we see that as patients are living longer due to the interventions that we have for them, the medications that we have for them, and the screening that we have in place for them, we have patients who are living into adulthood, into their 30s, 40s, 50s. And that's wonderful. But however, what we find is that there's also complications that comes with living longer with this disease. And unfortunately, we haven't quite reached a point where we have recognized that this is a population that could truly benefit from palliative care in the way that other patients like those with cancer or heart failure or COPD have benefited from palliative care. So I think it's just we're a bit behind in recognizing the impact that palliative care can have in this patient population, particularly as they are now living longer than we previously saw in several years ago. So I think that is the main reason why we are where we are right now.
In another new prospective article, Luzzatto and colleagues mark the 30th anniversary of a study showing that hydroxyurea reduces rates of vaso-occlusive crises. How could palliative care services be combined with treatment with hydroxyurea and newer therapies to improve quality of life and manage pain in patients with sickle cell disease?
Absolutely. So there is the disease-modifying agents that are currently in place for sickle cell disease, like hydroxyurea, which was the first one that was approved by the FDA. Several decades later, we have other disease-modifying drugs. So these medications are disease-modifying drugs, and they are essential to use in the patients who they are appropriate for to modify the actual damage that the disease can have on the organ systems. I think that is imperative, that disease-modifying drugs are imperative in sickle cell disease management. Now, palliative care is supplementary to these disease-modifying drugs to also help to decrease the symptom burden and the psychological burden that the disease can affect on the patients and the family. So, yes, you might be on hydroxyurea, and yes, you might have decreased rates of vaso-occlusive crises. However, there's still some people who still have that chronic pain that need chronic pain management that the sickle cell team and the palliative care team can work hand-in-hand to address. There are other symptoms involved in sickle cell disease, whether it's fatigue, whether it's constipation, whether it's nausea. Again, hand in hand with palliative care, the hematologists can work together to also try and optimize these symptoms to improve the quality of life for these patients. So I will say that disease modifying drugs have been crucial in sickle cell disease management, and that's why patients are living longer, but also we need to supplement them with palliative care to provide holistic care for the patient, to make sure that we're addressing not just the disease management, but also the symptom management and the psychosocial aspects, and also the spiritual aspects of having this insidious disease.
You also say in your perspective article that involvement with palliative care could mitigate health disparities that affect patients with serious illness and could potentially help address mistrust. So why is that the case?
I think in palliative care, we truly approach our patients with a culturally sensitive lens and also an anti-racist perspective as well. We are very much aware that in the US here, that while sickle cell disease is not a disease of one particular race, here in the US, it affects predominantly Black and people of Latin and Latino descent. So we know that historically there has been a lot of systemic injustices in our healthcare system against people of African American background. And when you speak to patients with sickle cell disease, this unfortunately is something that they have faced at some point in their medical care. As you can imagine, a young Black patient who is coming to the hospital with a sickle cell pain crisis and is asking for opioids, there might be some stigma or some biases that are already in place that might affect how they are treated while they're in the hospital. So when we as palliative care teams are involved in their care, we are very much sensitive to this, and we try to use, I say, it's an anti-racist framework to try and build trust with these patients. And also try to also help the medical team to understand the perspective of the patient and the family when certain events happen, to say this is truly what is going on here, is that historical context, prior personal experiences that are coming into play here, and try to build that trust that there's a therapeutic alliance that we can form with the patient and the family to provide the care they need and get them out of the hospital so they can return to their normal lives. So I would say just having in palliative care, having that communication skill that we are trained in, and also just being aware of it more so in this context helps us to kind of combat that bias that we often see in the care of these patients.
In order to extend palliative care services to patients with sickle cell disease, what logistical and financial barriers would have to be overcome?
In palliative care, I think one of the greatest challenges that we face is that we do not have a very strong outpatient palliative care infrastructure across the nation. So we have built up a pretty good inpatient palliative care infrastructure where most major hospitals, in most, whether it's urban, rural, or suburban areas, will have a palliative care service available to patients and families. But on the outpatient side, we still struggle to have these services available to our patients. So currently now we have a built up infrastructure for outpatient palliative care for oncology patients and for maybe people with heart failure. But for other life-limiting illnesses, we still struggle to have an outpatient practice or practices that can support these patients. So that is the primary driver as to why palliative care has not really infiltrated as it should diseases like sickle cell disease in the outpatient side. So I think we as a specialty, palliative care needs to work on building up its outpatient infrastructure and also work with other specialties to train other specialists to provide primary palliative care, knowing that even if we have all the outpatient practices out there in every corner of the US, it's still not going to be enough to cover all the patients with life-limiting illnesses. So there is a need for more primary palliative care training for other specialists so they could be able to provide palliative care to their patients. And then the more complex patients can then be referred to the specialist palliative care to be able to provide that level of services.
And then finally, what about barriers related to patients' or families' fears or misconceptions about palliative care? How could those be overcome?
I think the stigma is still there that palliative care means end of life. Most people, when they hear palliative care, they think of hospice care. And yes, hospice care is a part of palliative care, but it's palliative care at the very end when we say that there is, according to the technical definition, there's less than 6 months of life left if we were to stop all disease treatment. So people need to understand, and there needs to be education to patients and family that palliative care can be provided alongside curative treatment. So for a patient with sickle cell disease, you could still be pursuing treatment with bone marrow transplant or treatment with gene therapy and still be able to see a palliative care provider. The goal of palliative care is to provide care and support across the lifespan and the spectrum of your illness. And it's not only for end of life. Yes, there will be a time where there might be an end of life conversation, but ultimately our goal is to provide you with enough support that you can live a life that's meaningful for you, despite where you are on that spectrum of that illness. So again, a lot of education for our patients and families is needed to really to address that stigma and that misconception of what palliative care can provide.
Thank you, Dr. Nwogo Onyemka.